So now, for talking about how an actual function call works, maybe upfront, let's clarify a little bit of nomenclature. For example, there's the need for naming the participants of such a function call, namely in a situation where, for example, f is the currently active function, and there's a function g that is called from f. And then we call f the caller and g the callee. Yeah? So those are the two participants in such a function call. And if we then have a look at how function call works, turns out that there's certain things that are done by the caller and certain things that are done by the callee. Yeah, so the function call is somehow split between both participants in terms of what it should actually really do. Why is that? Well, there's some particular parts of the calling process that can only be done with static information that the caller possesses and certain information that the callee possesses. Yeah, so information is separated between those, and thus there is need for both things to participate in that. What would that be, for example? Well, usually you would say that you would let the callee do all work, since the callee is considered to be like its own object and responsible for its own upkeeping of memory management and cleaning its remaining stuff and all that. However, there's one exception out there, which is the parameters of a function, which are usually not statically known by the callee, but instead are known by the caller. Yeah? Why is that? Well, just look at a thing like printf, for example, which is a variable length parameter function. And yeah, so only the caller does actually know how many parameters are out there. So usually you would want the caller to be the one that first of all, of course, puts the parameters somewhere where the callee can find them, and then also cleans up after this has been executed. Yeah. So let's have a look at what components there are during function call and return. Yeah. So that's this nice picture there. So there is two processes going on. There is the call on the function, that's what we call entering the callee g, and here this is what happens when g terminates. Thus execution leaves callee g and goes back to caller f. So let's have a look at what actually needs to be done during these phases. So first of all, of course, you need to find out what is actually called. This is clearly a task for the caller. Yeah? So there's computation of the address of G, which might be simple or complex depending on the calling context. Then, of course, there's also necessary to compute the actual parameters. They might be arbitrarily complicated, and usually the caller is the one who knows what to do about that. Yeah. Then what you should also do is make sure that the registers are somewhere saved in a way that the callee doesn't overwrite them. And this is also clearly a task for the caller, since the callee doesn't know about its calling context. So the caller does a backup of the caller saved registers. Same, of course, for the frame pointer, since this is specific to the caller. So this is also backed up. And then we can prepare to do the actual handover of responsibilities. This is done by setting up a new frame pointer and backing up the current program pointer, while jumping to the beginning of the new function. So interpreting the formerly computed address. Yeah, so this all belongs to what we can perceive as the so-called call. And then what we need to do is to make sure that the parameters that have been stored somewhere else need to be copied to our own locals, because we might find that there is actual other function calling going on in the body of G. So the parameter registers, remember those are these global registers, the ones that are indexed with a negative number, those are usually then reused, thus overwritten. So we need to put the values of the parameters somewhere where they are safe. Yeah? So this is a job of G clearly, and yeah, that's what it's going to do. Then after G has run, at some point we reach the end of G's lifetime. So the last thing that G usually does before returning is computing the end result. And yeah, well, it moves it to a well-known location, which is this special purpose register R0. This is neither a local nor a global register. Instead, this is the return register for our purposes. And then we need to hand over the control back to the callee. And how we do that is we, well, of course, restore the old function frame. That's done by restoring frame pointer and stack pointer, and return to the actual call site in terms of the next instruction to be interpreted. It needs to be the one that is that follows the original call. So this is by done by manipulating the program counter by restoring its original value from the location where it has been stored. And all that is considered to be the handover from the callee to the caller, and we call such a thing usually the return from a function. And then all that there remains to be done is restoring of the caller safe registers, and usually you would also want to work with the return value of the called function, which is then residing in R0 and needs to be stored away somewhere and be used somewhere, because next function call is going to override that, and with that you will have lost this value. So this is what we're going to have to make sure that happens in function call and return. In terms of managing the registers during that, there was this need of local registers for local variables. So this is what we see here, the local registers in RI, as well as what we have heard early on, was that there's a need for intermediate registers that or intermediate results that also live in the local registers RI, so we need to somehow keep them apart from each other. So this is a need for the implementation later on to make sure that that happens. We've already seen how that would be possible by just reserving the local registers up front up to a certain index I, and then only use for the intermediate registers or the registers above that at particular threshold. But yeah, that's that. And then what you also need to make sure is that there's some way of parameter exchange, and this is where the global registers come into play. So this is the place for putting parameter values into. Yeah, so they might be a building block that we can use. And well, there's of course in real programs there's something like global variables. Well, usually you would reserve a little amount of registers for those, but for our purposes let's just suppose that there are none of those, so that makes life a little bit easier. So we can just start counting from -1. Otherwise we would have to count them up front and then use only the registers that are beyond a certain threshold. But yeah, anyway, so by convention, the I argument of a function is or ith argument of a function is passed in global register R minus I. This makes life a little bit easier when there's global variables. We would have to add a third certain base index to that, but yeah, let's not do that here. And the result of a function is stored in a well-known place, which is this R0 for our purposes. Yeah, and yeah, what we will then, of course, have to do in order to reuse these global registers for parameter passing is that we need to store them away right after the call, in that sense. Yeah. And the other thing that we need to do is local registers have to be saved before calling a function. Yeah. So, yeah, if you read a little bit of literature in that area, you might stumble over a few terms that I want to just mention here a little bit because they fit into that area. So assume that F is a caller that calls a callee G. Yeah? And the register RI here is then called caller saved. If the caller is the one that backs up the register, and G may just override it. And then there's this callee saved concept. If the caller does not back up such register, then G is the one who needs to restore it before returning. Yeah, and so with those two terms, you can classify the different registers that we have seen. So there's, of course, not just this register RI, but there's also the machine registers, and you might have a look at them and the process of calling and then decide whether they are caller saved or callee saved in that sense. So with that, this is the general concept and requirements that we have for function calls. Well, let's see how they turn out to be realized in our code generation schemes in the next module.